My guest today co-wrote a book titled The Color of Christ, The Son of God and the Saga of Race in America. It was named as one of the best religion books of 2012 by Publishers Weekly. Edward Bloom is an award-winning writer and scholar, and he teaches history at San Diego State University. We're talking to him today because he's coming to the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga to give a lecture. Satan was the first secessionist, Devil Talk, and the American Civil War. I really like that title. Edward Bloom, welcome to A Roundabout.
Oh, it's great to be here with you.
Your book is devoted basically to the idea that a lot of people in America have over the years thought of Jesus as a Caucasian and how that's affected different things in American history. First of all, why does it matter? Since the Bible doesn't mention what race Jesus is or anything about what he looks like, why do you think people in America are so obsessed with the race of Jesus?
Yeah, and that's usually the first response from people today is either, oh, it doesn't matter, or, you know, it's quirky. Why did people in the past think it mattered? And in the 19th century, Americans were obsessed with bodies. Bodies had value, right? Certain bodies could be bought and sold. You know, bodies were important for labor. Bodies were meaningful for who could be a citizen. Okay, so we have these immigrants coming over. Can you be a citizen? Because that means you can vote and, you know, determine things. So at that moment, they start creating images of Jesus. And there's this sense that, well, if God took a body form and bodies matter to us, the body that God took is going to say something of what bodies matter. And so what we get out of that 19th century racialized world is a focus on whiteness. Then we get into the 20th century and we find a lot of people, even people who didn't look white, accepted this Jesus as white phenomenon. Even Martin Luther King Jr. at one point said, Jesus wouldn't have been more valuable if he had been black. He's not less valuable because he was white. And some readers read that and are like, wait, where are you basing this upon? Even King had accepted this kind of whiteness of Jesus. And the last bit of this of why it matters is we learn the color of Christ before we learn the words of Christ. We as children, as babies, we see imagery of Jesus, whether it's at church, whether it's in children's Bibles, whether it's on television, before we can read any of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And so we're already, when we get to the text, when, you know, we're 12 years old and we're reading the Bible for ourselves, we're already having a sense in our imaginations of kind of what the character looks like.
You actually have written about the Civil War and religion before. In your book, The Color of Christ, one of the interesting points you make is that some people really thought Jesus was going to come back and intervene in the Civil War itself. What were these people saying, and how did Abraham Lincoln react to the idea that Jesus would intervene in the Civil War?
Yeah, when I was reading correspondence to Abraham Lincoln, I started stumbling upon these folks who just kept saying, hey, either Jesus is coming back and he's going to save us, or Jesus is back, and if you give me $500 million, I'll show you where he is. At first I laughed, and I thought, oh, these are just the cranks and the crazies. But I found enough of them that I was struck by how Americans were really taking seriously, like, sacred intervention during the war, and partly because it was so cataclysmic, because it just kept going. And, you know, you see dad die and brothers lose their arms and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people were just kind of like, hey, we need a savior. We need someone to end this thing.
And it's interesting because you had both abolitionists and people who were pro-slavery claiming, well, Jesus would be on my side if he were here.
Yeah, and this is, we know that, you know, in the run-up to the Civil War, everybody wanted God on their side. And during the war, everyone, you know, claimed God to be with them. What's fascinating about the abolitionists versus the pro-slavery forces is we typically think of the pro-slavery people as more biblically literal. Because, heck, let's face it, slavery's in the Bible. But when it came to Jesus, what was fascinating is that it was the pro-slavery forces who made arguments not from what the Bible said, but from what it didn't say. So basically, because Jesus never says a word about slavery. He never says anything about it. And so pro-slavery forces said, hey, look, it's not there. Or up historical context. There were slaves around, and Jesus didn't say anything. Abolitionists, who we usually think of kind of being a little more wiggly with the Bible, they drew upon, wait a second, Jesus actually said the golden rule. He said, yeah. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Do you, slave owner, take that seriously? Would you like to be bought and sold away from your family? And so they kind of took more literally the golden rule. And so we kind of see when it comes to Jesus, they kind of switch sides or switch approaches.
So we're at the Civil War times. This idea had entered the national consciousness that, number one, that Jesus did have an actual race, and number two, that it mattered. Was this primarily an American invention, this idea of assigning a race to Jesus?
Not exactly. Europeans, you know, we all know they had their images of Jesus. You know, we've read the Da Vinci Code. We've looked at the pictures, you know, to see what did Da Vinci, what did Michelangelo, how did they represent Jesus? And Europeans are having their own debates at the time over what Jesus would have looked like, what nation would he have been kind of most affiliated with. What's unique about the United States is we emerged from Puritans who were iconoclasts. They were, you know, these Protestants who hated Catholic iconography, and so they destroyed it. They didn't have it. And so Americans, right before the Civil War, they kind of have to create their own Jesus imagery, and they don't turn to European art. They turn to this crazy thing that you should Wikipedia or Google called the Publius Lentulus letter. And it would take me a long time to describe what that is, but basically it's just a fraudulent letter that claims to be from Jesus' time about what Jesus looked like.
And people use this letter to justify their interpretations of it, basically.
Yeah, and the most striking feature of it is Jesus with parted hair down the middle. So if you've ever seen Jesus with a part right down the middle of his head, that's said specifically in the Publius Lentulus letter, and, I mean, it's not in Matthew 3:12, and Jesus parted his hair, you know, but so that's the kind of main kind of text for American imagery.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Edward Bloom. He is the co-author of The Color of Christ, The Son of God, and The Saga of Race in America. You're coming here on Thursday, September 19th, 5:30 p.m., to give this talk, Satan Was the First Secessionist. What does that mean? What does that title mean?
So the title comes from a letter from this wonderful Civil War soldier, Charlie Tenney, who's writing a love letter to his Addie, who's in Ohio. And, oh, he loves her so much. Can he call her my dear Addie? And don't you know that Satan was the first secessionist? And I was so struck by this. Like, why in a love letter is this guy bringing up the devil and connecting it to secession? But then I found all these Civil War envelopes. Okay, so these are the envelopes that you would put your letter in that you're sending to your beloved Addie. And a whole mess of them have the devil. And they have the devil as the first secessionist. They have the devil as handing Jefferson Davis the Confederate flag. They have the devil, you know, whispering into Robert E. Lee's ear. And I was thinking, okay, what kind of work is this doing? Why are Northern Unionists trying to claim, hey, Satan was the first secessionist? And that's what I'm going to lecture on. And I have I can give you some kind of early thoughts on it, but I don't want to give the whole cat away.
Okay.
I'll give you one little teaser.
Okay.
Americans are founded on a revolution, right? We're founded on a people leaving one country and violently fighting back to leave it.
Yeah.
So when the Confederacy forms, aren't they just kind of like George Washington? Aren't they like the founding father saying, hey, we don't want your government, so we're going to form our own. And there doesn't have to be a war. But when Northerners say, the first secessionist wasn't George Washington, who's a good guy, who we all like. It was Satan. What they're doing is they're reformatting American politics. And they're saying, no, we're going to go back to, you know, Milton's Paradise Lost, and we're going to say, no, what you guys are doing by leaving a good government, you're just like Satan, Lucifer leaving heaven. And what does, you know, then Lucifer do? He takes one third of the demons, one third of the states, and wars against God. And so there's a lot of other work being done by this invocation of the devil, but that's one piece, is it says, no, you guys aren't following George Washington, you're actually following Satan.
You and Paul Harvey co-wrote this book, The Color of Christ. Did you find anything that really surprised you, that you really were not expecting to find when you were writing this book together?
Yeah, the biggest surprise for us was that this notion of Jesus not of being not white, where the first Americans to say, hey, wait a second, Jesus was not white, he was quote-unquote colored, were actually Native Americans, not African Americans. Because we usually think of, like, oh, you know, kind of black theology as coming from, you know, 1960s civil rights era. But it was in the 1830s, so before the Civil War, 3 decades before the Civil War, where we have a Methodist Pequot Indian writing specifically, Jesus was not white. And the reason you guys are making him white, this is what this writer says, is because you're fearful of my people marrying your daughters.
Huh.
And he's there. I mean, so he's connecting, you know, the image of Jesus to sexual anxieties and you know, doing it long before we would think that would happen. And also, you know, not coming out of, he's not a slave, he's not African American. So we really wanted to connect, not just make this a white-black story, but also a Native American story, an Asian American story, you know, Latino-Latina story as well.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I'm really excited to come back to Chattanooga. I was there, I guess, about 10 years ago at some conferences and love the city and hope to see everybody.
Great. Well, thank you. That was a conversation with Edward J. Bloom. He and another writer, Paul Harvey, wrote The Color of Christ, The Son of God, and the Saga of Race in America. The University of North Carolina Press published it last year. Publishers Weekly named it as one of their best religion books of 2012. Edward J. Bloom is coming here to the UTC campus on Thursday, September 19th. He'll be giving a talk entitled, Satan Was the First Secessionist, Devil Talk, and the American Civil War. That's going to be on Thursday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. in the University Center's Raccoon Mountain Room. Again, that's at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga campus. It's free and open to the public. You're listening to Around and About Chattanooga. I am Michael Edward Miller.